Hello, and welcome to Get In We're Going Healing. My name is Tova, and I will be your guide today. So today I wanted to get a little more into some of the lessons that have been coming to me lately and that I feel need to be shared. So what are those? So today I want to talk about the cycle of purging and ascension. So moving through and growing as a person and some of the signs that you can feel in the purge phase just before the blessing phase comes in. And I also want to talk about the purge and the thing that led to my purge, forgiveness of self, how to forgive yourself. Okay, so let's talk about the purge first. So the purge, we've talked about a little bit of purging before. That can be physical purging, like your surroundings purging. So that could be if you are going through your things and getting rid of things that you don't use anymore, that's a purge. Decluttering is a purge. You are removing physical objects that once at one time held some kind of significance for you, and you are letting it go. This can be very challenging. I took this course through Daily Om called, 365 Days to Change, or A Year to Clear What's Holding You Back, A Year to Clear What's Holding You Back. So one of the things it talked about in learning to declutter and learning to let go of your things is that the things that we hold on to them because they hold some significance to us, some emotional significance to us, some connection to us. And it can be very hard to let go of those things, even when we know we don't have a use for them, even when we know it doesn't matter. It's like a part of us that experienced things with that thing feel like if we got rid of it, we would be dishonoring the memory, or we would be disowning it or making it as if it never happened, invalidating our pain. I think that's how I want to say it. We would be invalidating our pain from that time period. And then we're taught in movies, many times people open a box from like 30 years ago and they pull it out and say, oh, look, it's my old whatever it is. And then they reminisce about that thing as a way to keep it alive. Now, there is some truth in that. However, it's not like it used to be where we don't have camera phones and the ability to record things and back it up and save it in the cloud and all those things technologically. Yes, we can keep stuff, but there are things that we hold on to because it also holds pain. And it's almost like we punish ourselves by going back to it and re-experiencing the pain and reintroducing the injury. So the thing about decluttering is that we have to recognize that many of the things that we're holding on to, they are holding some emotional, usually emotional significance to them. For us to be able to let it go, we have to be able to move past it. Now, sometimes it's just a panic sensation at getting rid of things. Maybe you weren't allowed to keep things. Maybe people took things from you when you were a child. Maybe you had siblings who took your things. And so now when you have something, when someone tries to take it away, you react because people have always taken things away from you. And this just irritates the wound of worrying that you're going to have to fight to keep your things. So you react as, no, it's mine. You can't touch it. You can't get rid of it. It's mine. Leave my things alone. And I absolutely had that reaction when I was learning to declutter and I was taking the course of a year to clear what's holding you back. And it was that, don't touch my things, because I was not allowed to have my own things. And my parents did go through my things, and there was no level of privacy. There were no boundaries. There was nothing to keep someone from taking what is mine and doing whatever they want with it, getting rid of it, breaking it, whatever. So I was very reactive and I did not want other people to touch my things. And I was very, you know, get away from my stuff, sort of. I mean, that's the nice way of putting it. My partner would tell you it was more reactive than that. And it was indeed, because there was a fear that someone else was trying to control me through taking my things. And so I couldn't let them go. In order for me to declutter and learn to declutter and learn to let go of those things, I had to find my way to a place of safety internally. I had to recognize that I was safe and someone wasn't going to take my things and that I was okay. And it was safe to let things go. It was safe to let it go. That's one way of purging. Now, I'm going to give you a tip if that's an area that you struggle with purging, of letting things go physically, then I'm going to give you a tip that I found in the course. I'll try to remember to link the course in the description box for anyone who might be interested in also taking that course. Excuse me. One of the tips that was given in the course was to set a timer for 1 minute. So oftentimes when we might know that we need to let go of things, but we can also be overwhelmed by how much needs to be done. And then we see it and then we get lots of feelings about how overwhelmed we are. And then we just can't move forward to let it go and to do the work to let it go because our fight or flight has been reacted, our emotional reactivity, and we are now in dysfunction and we are reacting and we are panicking and we are overwhelmed and we just say, I can't, I'm just going to leave it. I can't. And we walk away from it and nothing. We look at it. We feel shame. We just don't do anything about it because it just feels too overwhelming. So here's how the course suggests that you handle it. Now, my partner would say, his favorite phrase is, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? That can be a little dicey in the way it's phrased. So I like to do it this way. Here's something a little more practical. And it's right, one small step at a time. But here's how we do that. They set a timer for 1 minute, just 1 minute. Your nervous system can get reacted in a short time when we are emotionally, mentally connected in that way. So if we set a timer and tell ourselves that we're just going to tackle one small thing, so pick a corner, pick a spot, pick a spot on the desk, pick a spot, one spot, set a timer for 1 minute, clear that spot, just that spot, nothing else, up to a minute. If you start to feel reactive before that, take a break and walk away. The point is that we begin to notice when our nervous system begins to get reactive, when we start to have a response, when we start, our heart starts racing a little bit, our breathing starts getting a little more labored, our body starts to feel a little tight. We might feel like we want to be angry, or we might, you know, bash some stuff around. We might start to get scared. We might want to run, that fight or flight mechanism. So if we go under a minute, then we can try to circumvent when that happens. And so we start at just a minute in one small spot. That's all. And as we begin to recognize when we get reactive and learn to move through our feelings and move through that reactivity, we begin to be able to add that time a little bit longer. Now it's 2 minutes you can do. Now it's 5 minutes you can do. Now it's 10 minutes you can do. And it's all slow, but it's gradually training your nervous system to let you do the thing without letting your nervous system get reacted. And that is what will push us away from it. So 1 minute, just 1 minute, and you can begin to clear the clutter that's around you. So that's a tip from the course. It was a very good course. Again, I'll try to link it if anyone's interested. But that's one way of purging, is clearing the physical clutter. Another way of purging is purging emotionally and mentally. So we can do that. I've talked about that with crying is a release. For me, that's an often, I'm a crier. When my emotions get overwhelming, that's my release valve. That's my open it up and allow, that's your body's way of trying to bring you back to rest, digest, to rebalance you, to re-regulate you. So when you are in dysregulation and worked up in fight or flight, freeze or fawn, in those states, when our nervous system is reactive, crying is our body's way of releasing that pressure to allow us to come all the way back down into a more rest, digest, to a more regulated set. So for me, crying is often a way, but sometimes, and there's physical ways too. I'm actually teaching a class later this week with that. I did one today teaching at a local camp in my area, teaching children about breathing and how to feel the feeling in the body, how to notice it, that your heart is starting to race, that your body temperature is going up, maybe you're starting to sweat, those things to physically notice in your body that you're having dysregulation. I'm also teaching them physical ways in a couple of days on how to release that. And that's things like humming, singing, dancing, punching something. If you've got a punching bag, punch a pillow, punch a stuffy, scream into a pillow. Those things are all ways to just physically let it out. Now, when I'm talking purging, I'm talking something intense. Intense purging. So for me, again, that could be I might have a panic attack come up. I don't get those very much anymore. They used to be a regular occurrence before I started doing my healing and working through them and working through the underlying reason of why I was getting activated into fight or flight. And so I've done a lot of work to get through that and to learn better techniques. And so now I don't get panic attacks like I have before, but sometimes they do come up when there is an emotion that I have been feeling like I am heavily under, like it feels like a weight just pushing me down until I just feel so heavy emotionally and physically. I just feel so tired and heavy and everything is just hard. As we're learning to work through our feelings, crying is one of the ways that my body learns to regulate. My body gets back into regulation. So when that happens for me, excuse me, that is one of the ways. But sometimes my body has bigger things, and I feel like these are deeper, more intense, stuck pain. Wounds that have been there probably since my childhood. A lot of that is worthiness. A lot of that is value, personal value, self-esteem, self-worth. Those are all things that I have spent a lot of time working through. And I have episodes about that in, I believe, season one, some of them in season two. If that's something that you are struggling with yourself, you might want to check those out. But yeah, so as I'm doing that, the purge for me can also be much more physical, and it might be for you. So that might be things like headaches, migraines, are a way that your body is rebalancing energy and rebalancing what's going on inside. And then you might find everything that you eat comes back out either through this end or the other end, if you understand my drift. And those are when there's like no underlying health condition. There's no illness. You don't have the big C or the little C. You don't have anything like that. No underlying health conditions. Okay. This is just out of the blue that you would almost think is food poisoning because it just comes on so quickly and then it goes away so quickly. I have found those are ways that your body is also purging a lot of old stuff that you don't need anymore, old stuff that it needs to go, that's deep in your cellular level, stuff that's gotta go, and it goes. And I found when that happens, those purges, I've started to pay attention to them. I've started to journal the days when the big tears come. That might be panic attacks, big emotions, big intense emotions. I've journaled where I feel numb, where I'm really not feeling anything. I feel like I'm just drudging through my day and I'm not really feeling any emotions intensely. I've journaled when rage has come up. I've journaled when these sadness come up and depression and anxiety, and I write all that stuff down. And then the physical purges as well. And what I have also noticed is after I go through those, big changes happen in my life. So it might be a problem that I've been emotionally working through in some way, an issue that I've been having, and it just suddenly resolves. Or I get an email with an offer to teach classes at a local summer camp. That was very unexpected, but in line with the direction of where my path is meant to take me and where I want to go, and it becomes a stepping stone. It's almost as if the universe just says, okay, good, you've let go of some baggage. So now here's where you're going now. And starts giving you the next thing meant to be on your path. And what I want to say about that is, yeah, when you do the purge, when you do the heal, when you do the release of whatever has been stuck in your heart or wherever, again, the thorns that Michael Singer talks about in his book, The Untethered Soul, the thorns, when we take the thorns out of our heart, there is going to be a gushing of blood when we pull it out, but we allow it to heal as we release all of that stuck emotions, stuck pain, stuck whatever. As we let that go, we will find that blessings follow in its path. Unexpected opportunities, unexpected openings just show up and magically appear. And it's the craziest thing, but there's a pattern if you begin to notice it, if you begin to watch it. Now, that's one section. Now, I said we're going to talk about two things. So the next part I want to talk about is a little bit of a bridge between the two. So one of the things I found before the purge really happens, there has to be a release on your end, a choosing of letting go. And it's a conscious choice, okay? It's not just I release, because there is some in the saying, I release it to the universe. I give it to God. I give it, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. When you let it go, but that's a more spiritual letting go. Let's say it that way. It's a more spiritual letting go. There's another more conscious letting go where you are, somebody hurt you. Let's hold that. Let's follow that train. Okay. Somebody hurts you. And you have some big emotional feelings about it. And you don't say them. You don't speak them because one reason or another. I'm not even going to go into the reasons why. Just for one reason or another, you don't speak them. You don't say them. You don't tell them about the pain that you're holding. Okay. That pain continues to hold on to you. It continues to hurt you. Because there's a part of you, that hurt part, that person, that version of you, that day, that thing happened, that you is still holding the pain from that time that did not get heard or expressed. I know we talk about parts all the time, and I'm going to keep doing it because it's very important. So that part of you is holding on to that pain. That it doesn't even matter if it happened 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, doesn't matter. That part of you is still holding on to that pain. And you have to be the one to choose to let go of the pain. And I know that sucks. I know it sucks. The person is not sorry. They've never apologized. They've never taken accountability. They've never taken ownership. All the things that you know that you need to be doing, they're not doing. And part of you wants to say, but I should hold them accountable until they are accountable. But you're not doing it to help them grow. You're doing it because you're looking to have your pain soothed. And you're hoping that their apology and acknowledgement of the pain that they have caused you will soothe that pain. But I can tell you from people who have gotten the apology on the deathbed, Some people have said it made them feel better. Some people said it didn't matter and it didn't change anything. Because the apology, when they finally acknowledge the pain that they've caused you, doesn't erase the fact that for many years they refused to. And you'll always find another reason as to why they don't deserve forgiveness. But that is you being addicted to the pain of that wounding and then being unwilling to let it go because it's so familiar. Being unwilling to let it go because that would require you to change how you see them. It would require you to give up the pain. And the pain might have become an old friend by this point. Might be a wound that you're so familiar with, you're unwilling to let it go and part with it. But when you get to that conscious decision to let go, to release whatever it was, whatever story is repeating in your head, whatever storyline that you are attached to, your attachment, as the Buddhists say, when you learn to let go of that, that's what triggers a purge. It is this decision of releasing, and then that once you say, I'm going to let it go, the purge is the energetic, emotional, actual letting go that happens once the conscious mind says, let go, and says, fine, I'm going to let go. Fine. You just get to the point of fine, and you let go. When you finally get to that, fine, let go, there is going to be a response as it breaks away from you, as that thing that you've chosen to let go breaks away from you, as it releases. There is going to be a release in you. Again, that's where, for me, tears are how it goes. It might be anger, it might be frustration, it might be vomiting in the other way, it might be adrenaline, it might be anxiety, it might be many different things that are all the nervous system being activated as this thing is released from the nervous system, as the stimulus is released. So, I hope that makes sense. I hope that made sense. So, we're going to move along to the bridge between the, yes, it's the choosing to let go that triggers the purge. Now, for me, that choosing to let go came in the form of forgiveness. And I've already done forgiveness work, and I've talked about that. I've talked about ways to forgive. I've talked about ways that I've forgiven my parent. I've talked about ways that I've forgiven my partner. I've talked about lots of different ways of forgiveness. And as we've talked about as well on the healing journey, it all comes in a spiral. So anything that you've experienced, you will experience again, but you're going to experience it in a different way, for a different story, a different situation. So for every storyline that you are releasing, every wound that you are releasing, you're going to go through the same pattern for each and every one. So for me, that came in the form of self-forgiveness. And I thought I'd already come to a point of self-forgiveness, but deeper inside, I held a lot of shame and guilt for who I was during my unhealed phase. The pain that I caused to my partner. Because I knew how much pain I was in, and I was reacting from my place of pain, and I knew how much agony I was suffering, I was experiencing on the inside, and I was allowing it to color my outside. I was allowing it to turn my partner into my enemy, into my competition. And it was, oh yeah, you have it bad? Well, you should know about how bad I have it. Oh yeah, your day was hard? You should hear about how hard my day was. It was always trying to be the one who had a harder time because motherhood was so challenging for me. And I felt that my pain wasn't seen. And so I pushed my pain harder to make it be seen. Not some of my finer moments. And as I've healed, I have looked back on, I've reflected on those times and who I was and the choices I made. And I understand that I made those choices from a place of pain. I understand I made those choices from a place of lack of understanding, lack of anything. I was in survival mode. I was just trying to get through the day and doing my best to get through the day with very little to work with. And the pain that I caused my partner, he also made his pain very clear to me and put that squarely in my camp of blame, as I've done with him. And what I've learned in my path is that there was never blame to be put in anyone's camp, that they were always lessons. They were always opportunities that I had to behave in a certain way, to set boundaries, to set limits, to respect myself, to honor my needs, to speak my needs. But none of those things I knew at the time. And I was aware of how much pain I caused my partner, but it was on the back burner because I was so focused on my own pain. And when I was able to heal through my own pain, the guilt and shame I felt at how I behaved and how I caused pain to someone that I loved was awful. Awful. It was awful. And I worked through a lot of that. But there were deeper levels that I didn't want to really see. I recognized that I was acting out of a place of pain. I logically understood that. But I hadn't really gone in and forgiven, truly heard, acknowledged, validated, and forgiven the version of me who was in survival mode and the choices that I had to make when I was in survival mode and the things I had to do and the things that I said and the ways I reacted. And my child is what they would call a neurospicy child. He is a spirited child. He is spicy and he was born that way. He was that way before he was even in the outside world doing the can-can at midnight every night. That's how I knew, like clockwork. Once midnight struck, this kid was kicking away like he was a rocket. Spicy kid. That meant for a very difficult time during infancy, toddlerhood, preschool. Those were very challenging times. And I was in survival mode. And I had to recently sit through and I just sat in quiet and I asked, what is it? Why do I feel so heavy? Why do I feel so stuck and sad and down? What is causing this? And I had flashbacks of the early days of my son's life. Not very much sleep. He slept for 2-hour increments throughout the night before he woke, which meant I slept in 1 to 1.5 hour increments each night until it was up for the day. He did not nap. If he napped, he was napped baby worn. I was heavily in survival mode with very little sleep, and I struggled, and I most definitely had postpartum depression, and I felt a lot of shame and guilt for not being able to meet the standards of care that I thought I should. And I was able to come to this point of looking at myself internally. I do a lot of my work just sitting in meditation in my sunroom, listening to the sounds of the nature outside, but without the bugs getting at me. I was able to see where I was and say to myself, I forgive you for who you were in that moment. I forgive you for being yelling, for yelling and screaming. I forgive you for losing your temper. I forgive you for putting yourself last when you should have been putting yourself first. I forgive you for letting other people tell you who you were supposed to be and you believing that. I forgive you for not speaking up when you knew you should have. I forgive you for letting other people trample on your needs and not speaking up about it. I forgive you for the hurt that you caused to others because you were in so much pain. I forgive you for wanting to unalive yourself because it felt like the easier route. I went through a whole list of what I forgave myself for. And then when I finished crying and talking through it, I then also found a moment to move into forgiving my partner for the person that he was during those same times, for how hard it was for him, for his choices when he was in survival mode, for his choices when he was in his unhealed state, for his choices when he acted out of his trauma. And I thought I'd already done those forgiveness levels, but there was so much pain that I was holding for so many years that, as I said, it comes in stages. It comes in small increments to work through. So that was the forgiveness that I came to. And the next day, purge time. Physical purge was not fun. But I ended up sleeping for 12 hours after. And that's the other thing, after a purge, you will sleep. You will sleep, 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 sleep. Your body needs rest to do the healing work on the inside. That's true of when you're sick. That is also true of when you are healing from emotional and mental pain. Your body will need to sleep. And after my purge, I slept for a solid 12 hours. I slept, maybe got up briefly to go to the bathroom, and then I slept. And then the next day, I felt like myself again. I felt like my regular self again. I felt like me, not heavy, not filled with deep sadness and anguish and mental pain, emotional pain. It was gone. That was what I needed to let go. So I don't know where you are on your healing journey, but if you were at the stages of purging, know that when you choose to let go, whether it's you're mentally letting go, whether you're physically letting go of your clutter and the emotional connection to it, as you choose to let go and finally say, that's it, I'm done, I cannot take it anymore, I'm done. When you get to that point, understand that there will be pain of some sort. There will be discomfort of some sort after the choice to let go, because it has to leave you. I'm getting goosebumps as I say it. It has to leave you. And that leaving you, whatever it is, whether you're leaving a career that is no longer the right fit for you, a relationship that is no longer the right fit for you, a friendship, a connection, a thought pattern, an emotional cycle, whatever it is that you are letting go of, there is going to be discomfort on the initial release. There's going to be some level of dysfunction on the initial release. Whether that's a physical purge or whatever, there's going to be some degree of purge on the choice to release, because it has to go. But understand, as you work your way through that, that it's golden on the other side. Because once it's gone, once you release its hold on you, once you pull the thorn out of your heart, you can then properly heal. You can then move to the next level. You can then grow beyond. And when you do that, that's when you start to get your dreams coming true. But as I see in one of my favorite series, I just finished reading the recent book, the Kim Harrison series of Rachel Morgan, the Hollows series. One of the things that's talked about in that book a lot, there's a lot of magic use, and there's demons and witches and vampires and all that good stuff. And what it talks about is there's always a cost, whether you're using magic, whether you're using anything, there's always a cost. The cost could be big, the cost could be small. But the same comes with releasing and letting go, because as you let it go, the cost is the purge, and the reward, the benefit, the blessing is whatever comes after that. When you've made some space for the blessing to come, when you've made some space in your life, that's when new things show up, because there's somewhere for it to go. So don't fear the purge. When the heaviness comes, when the overwhelm comes, when the this is not right feeling comes, let it tell you what it is that needs to be let go of. Ask yourself, what is it that I'm holding on to that I don't need anymore? I'm getting chills again. What is it that I'm holding on to that I don't need anymore? And then whatever comes to mind, whatever thing your eye falls on, whatever that is, that's your answer. When you choose to let it go, you open up space. And when you open up space, in comes the blessings. So, I hope this has helped you. I hope that something in today's talk about purging and forgiveness and releasing has helped you in your journey in some way. So until next time, keep letting go of those things that are holding you back from being your best, your greatest, your most authentic you. Love and light, fellow humans.